Live from the old Austin Opry House in Austin, Texas, it's the After Reality TV Podcast.
This is the final rose, final rose tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, Mr. Spoken.
Killed it. Good job.
TV Podcast. I'm Spencer Kitley.
And I'm Danny Oler.
And Dan, the big portion of the reality TV season, the kind of uncharted ground for us this winter, has come to a close. We had The Bachelor shut down first, and then we had an unexpectedly solid season of The Real World come to a close. But then
forever.
Possibly, that still hasn't been determined, but then our favorite show, I don't think I say that lightly, that's our favorite show, right?
That is true.
The challenge.
Love and Hip Hop Atlanta starts
this week. and of course, all of our regular listeners know that Dan's favorite show is Survivor. But yeah, the challenge has come to a close. Battle of the X's season 2, and for my money, it's one of the best seasons we've had in a long while, the challenge. So we're going to get to that and kind of give you a kind of our State of the Union address on reality TV. But before we do, Dan, can you remind everybody where they can find us online?
You can hit us up on Twitter at After Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, the After Reality TV Podcast.
And so, experiencing some technical difficulties tonight. I'm actually podcasting through my iPhone. So Dan's at the helm of the controls over there, and kind of flying by the seat of my pants. But I sometimes that's a good thing. What's been going on, Dan? I know we've been off for a week, week and a half? How long has it been? 2 weeks or a week?
Maybe two weeks. Seems like longer. South By when last time we talked, I remember.
That's right. I was at South By for a week, and then I was in L.A. last week. So, yeah, that's right. 2 weeks off. Now we're back on again. Actually, before we even get any further than that, I met Wes.
I saw that.
Wes Bergman, the man, the myth, the challenge legend who got bamboozled this season. Felt bad for the guy. I wish I had talked to him a little more, but I was trying to be respectful. But probably at the same time, I might have been one of the few people there that knew who he was.
yeah, I guess.
Although he was back in Austin, which is where we first got to know Wes. On The Real World Austin, that was, what was that, Dan? 2003, 2004, maybe.
It's been that long, yeah.
Yeah, and actually Wes made a little pilgrimage back over to the Real World house that's now the Vince Young Steakhouse here in Austin. Right. He had his photo out front. I actually talked, I was like, hey, you get back to Austin very often? And he said, actually not as much as I would like, but we all know that Wes is busy building dozens and dozens of businesses with Beta Blocks, and that's who he was repping here at South By.
Good for him.
Wes repping the Beta Blocks, and nice guy. I mean, none of the kind of pompous attitude you get from the what I've referred to as the character that he plays on television, because I really think that's what it is. But anyhow, brush with reality, a reality icon, at least in our world. Actually, when I met it with a bunch of podcasters while I was there, Dan, I went to a podcast meetup for podcast hosts.
Oh, wow. That must have been exciting.
Yeah, well, it was. I actually got some good ideas that maybe we could roll out here in the coming months. So stay tuned for maybe some new territory here on the After Reality TV Podcast.
Maybe a new opening.
Maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
May have to cut some new opening music. I don't know, but that's not necessarily what kind of stuff I was talking about. have some ideas, maybe for some guests.
Ooh.
Maybe fancy. For kind of spreading our brand a little, so to speak. And, yeah, so good time at South By, good time actually last week in L.A. Actually got to meet some of our podcasting friends from the Grantland reality podcast over there, David Jacoby and Juliet Littman, nice folks as well. And as listeners know, a friend of ours, Caitlin Mangum, works with those guys as well over on that podcast. So hope to get her back on here this spring sometime soon, now that we're kind of in the lull. You watching anything good, Dan, that's going to be of interest here in the interim before we get back into Bachelorette season?
Well, you know, I'm watching a Teen Mom OG.
How's that?
It is what it is. I mean, it's so real that it's kind of hard to critique and talk because you're really, these are like human beings. But they're doing the thing where they're breaking down the fourth wall, so they talk to the producers. The producers are kind of part of the story. So they're trying that out this season. It's been pretty, I think it's more seamless than, say, the first time the Real World tried it.
Who does this, Buna Murray, do Teen Mom?
No, they don't. They don't. It's a completely different production crew. But it's fun. They're even showing like the crowds that gather around, like when the Teen Moms are filming, and they're actually talking about how, like, you know, oh, you like film. You know, they're actually not interviewing them, but it's more the people on show are talking about how it's like to also be on Teen Mom too. So. You know, just the difficult, you know, the difficulties of having to stage a conversation or something like that.
Gotcha.
So it's pretty good. It's only, I think it's only two episodes in, so still haven't got too much in it. But it's interesting how they're approaching it, and it's not too bad so far.
Huh. Well, I would watch it. I don't have any background on those people. I don't know if that have any bearing.
You catch up pretty quickly. Everyone's a train wreck. So right. It's kind of, they're all train wrecks, but you feel bad for these kids who are like, you know, starting kindergarten now. So it's
really
been going on for a while. Yeah. These kids are going to school.
So Farrah's on?
She is not on yet. I think she comes on later in the season. Okay. And they all hate Farrah.
So, and who is it, like Macy? I don't even know how I know these people's names. I've never seen the show.
Yeah, I think it's her. See, that's the thing. It's Amber, Macy, and then the rednecks from West Virginia. I can't remember their names. Carly. Gotcha. Carly, right, and someone else. Yeah. All right.
I'm gonna steer us back on top. I don't know how Teen Mom just hijacked the podcast, but
well, it's probably right now it's one of the better probably shows on.
Right, but we wouldn't be doing ourselves justice, Dan. Even though we're we're about 8 days late now, if we didn't do a proper season wrap-up of the challenge Battle of the X's 2.
Let's do it.
Actually, I did something I don't ever do. I actually had to download the finale and the reunion off of iTunes and watch them on my plane ride back home from L.A., last Thursday. I was trying to avoid spoilers, and I did. So, I mean, I like the finale. One of the things that I really liked about it, before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts, was I liked that they just kind of glossed over that final climb. It's not exciting to me to watch people just sloughing up the mountain that... kind of like what we saw when Zach crapped out on the mountain, and we've seen other times where it's like how much do I want to watch the guy climb the mountain? It's really not that much, right?
Well, I think when there's a story to be told of someone like not being able to make it up the mountain, there's something there. But the two groups left were pretty determined to get up that mountain, so they knocked it up. You know, there wasn't really much story to be told.
True. So I guess we haven't talked really on the show about either part of the finale, meaning the first part was... Well, I don't even recall. Last time, did we talk about Sarah's decision? I think we did. I think that's where we left off.
Yeah, I think we talked about... Yeah, I think we left off with Sarah's decision, and then we kind of went from there.
So, Bananas and Nani face off in against Leroy and Naya. Oh, excuse me. Not Naya. We didn't leave it. We didn't talk about this. We didn't get into the sexual harassment. We haven't talked about this yet. What's your take on Hurricane Naya and the implosion that happened to her upon arrival in Norway?
I think she was trying to get into Jordan's head, and I think she just went too far.
Yeah, I think she got out of her own head. How do you do that? I was concerned for Leroy a little bit. I thought they were gonna send him home,
which they should have. It's yeah. I mean, if I was Sarah, I would be pissed. Like, how many times has Sarah gone home because her teammate's done something stupid?
Yeah, that kind of goes to show you that MTV's got a soft spot there for Leroy.
Or they just didn't want Johnny winning again or something like that. You know, there's a lot of things that... I mean, now it's almost like if this is going to be, the fifth sport or whatever, they need to have some sort of panel where, like, they can explain their decision.
Well, that and, I mean, there's been so many other instances where it's like, too bad.
Exactly. And so it's weird that of all the things, that this is a rule they changed, it seemed like, on the fly.
Right. Well, and one of the things that we've seen in the past, they will like plug somebody in there if it's really early in the season, but not always.
No,
this is really uncharted territory here. You don't do that. And I mean, he got an upgrade in Teresa, really, in all aspects in my book.
Yeah, he did, and that's the other thing. He got an upgrade. Not only did he get like lucky, but he got a great upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, sure, Naya did beat Teresa in the dome, but come on.
I don't know if she would have won that. I don't know if Naya would have beaten Teresa in that stick grab or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah, so Teresa beats Nani in that, and that was both of those were pretty good battles. I didn't really know that Bananas had that good of a shot against Leroy, but he did himself proud, like the champion he is, like the professional athlete that he is, and he didn't go out without a fight or without some bark. And even kind of seeing the interviews and the after shows and the reunions, you have to think, as pissed off and as betrayed as Bananas feels, he has to like get it at some level, doesn't he?
Well, I listen to Johnny do a podcast.
Okay.
And he broke it down into like 3 points, I guess, that it all kind of made sense. One, like his friendship with Sarah. He said that they had trained before the season, not like every day, but they went out and did like rock climbing together and stuff like that. So they're friends in that aspect. Just because you don't call someone on your birthday doesn't mean they're not friends. That was a weird defense. The other thing was, before the season, I think the contestants knew what the format was going to be. And so Sarah actually asked Johnny before the season not to get in it with Jordan and don't target him. And Johnny, being a friend, said, cool, I won't target him. And then third, I think it's kind of like, I guess what you want to call challenge etiquette, to carry the rookie, a rookie team to the, not to the finals, but to the final, like, dome. But don't push a rookie team into the finals. At the finals, you want, like, the best teams out there. Like, right. So, like, CT and, if you go back to, like, CT and Johnny, while they beat at each other, they both wanted each other to make it to the finals. That way they could compete against each other in the finals. It's all about get to the final and then compete with the best teams that way.
But two, isn't there a case, just like Sarah's made, don't you want to give yourself the best chance to win?
I think that's what Sarah made, but I think she almost like went beyond the competitive spirit. Like, you do want to give your, yes, I get that, but the chance, you don't, the competitive spirit of the game is that you get the best teams to the final, and then you do it from there.
Well, let's compare and contrast just briefly. Big Brother, you want to take the person to the final you can beat, right? Survivor, you want to take the person to the final that you can beat. So those are a little bit different shows.
And that's how they do it, right? But I think Johnny was just going based on challenge past.
And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, Dan. I'm just kind of...
And that's why he was so upset. And I think the other things, too. Like, he didn't... Like, he said he wouldn't target Jordan this season to give Sarah an opportunity. So I think that bugged him, too. So I think he felt like he held his part of the bargain, and she kind of blindsided him, which she did. And I guess it's fine. I mean... You know, more power to her. I don't know if she'll ever win a challenge again.
And I don't know if Sarah will come back at all either. Just, I mean, she was getting married, and you kind of see once these people, quote, grow up, they just don't come back.
Yeah. So. I mean, if you can make a living, you know, working, you know, 6 weeks a year, more power to you.
Yeah, so they're in Norway for this final. It's a 2-day race that starts in a helicopter and ends at the summit of Mount Slogan, which is an awesome name for a mountain. Mount Slogan. Anyhow, helicopter ride, jumping out of the helicopter straight into a swim and then into a kayak race. Sign me up. That's pretty cool that they're starting this thing jumping out of a helicopter.
Yeah.
Usually it's let's push a kayak into the water and go or something like that. So the challenge is really taking their game to a next level here. And with that being said, I want the challenge to go on forever, right? And I think you do too.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to have... I think it's important for us as fans of the show, we really need the real world to get renewed so we continue to have a pipeline for a long time. I know we have Are You the One that got renewed.
I was going to save this for in the news, but you know what the rumor is for the next challenge?
Fresh Meat?
Fresh Meat 3.
I like it. Problem solved.
that's what's popping up on the interwebs today was Fresh Meat 3 for next season.
What if we did Fresh Meat with, like, uber veterans, i.e. the godfather, Mark Long?
You just want him to do it. I think now Burn Murray is just, like, trolling him. Like, they're not going to do it because he's begging them so much.
Would love to have Mark. There's not a lot of guys that I push more to be involved in anything on this podcast than the Mark Long. Love the guy. If for no other reason, I'd love to see what a 42-year-old guy could do on the challenge.
That's another thing. Like, he's just not part of, like, challenge anymore. Like, so he has no, like...
When was he last on the challenge?
It's been a while, but just think... I mean, think about when he was on Road Rules. Like, the first season, right?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, which like, was when? 92?
Yeah. Like, I bet the average age of the challenge viewer wasn't even born yet when he was on the Road Rules.
It's a legend, Dan.
I am
legend.
Just,
wait for it. Dairy.
I'm just saying, like, maybe that's part of why they don't put on. I mean, think about the people who are on the challenge now. It's all, you know, people within the last 10 years, probably.
I guess maybe the last time he was on would probably have been Battle of the X's. The Uno, right?
Yeah,
he was paired with Robin.
Yeah.
which when that was 2012. So this season actually started in, oh, I guess it started in the new year. So there's only been three seasons since he was last on, four if you count this season. So not that long ago. But
he's like Gordie Howe. Gordie Howe was like playing hockey until he was like 60.
Yeah. And then so yeah, CT and Bananas after this season, they're up to 11 appearances apiece, tied for number one all time. I'm thinking Bananas is gonna take that crown to the house. And would you believe CT has actually only won the thing once?
That's not hard to believe. I mean,
and that was two seasons ago, Rivals 2, when he and Wes, which was a great pairing, won the thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, CT kind of, you know, either the first couple challenges, he kind of knocked himself out of it.
It's like boom or bust.
Yeah.
And Wes has actually won a nice chunk of change. I think Wes has probably won second most money of anybody and has only won twice. Yeah, let's get Wes and Mark Long and Bananas and CT and Darrell.
Yeah, Darrell.
Mr. Beautiful, Evan Starkman, get them all back together.
No, they can't have those guys on anymore. Kenny? All
right. Yeah, let's get back on course here. So, swim, you kayak, and there's puzzle time, and who better to knock a puzzle out of the park, and she did it, Sarah Rice. You will respect the trolls, and then I want to, this is what I really want to talk about here, though. They go and play this don't flip your lid game, this drink nasty something.
It looked like Blue Moon, but I guess it wasn't.
It was Blue Moon in a blender. They have to drink this, and they all end up having to drink every glass because it was impossible to flip these coasters up on top of these glasses. I don't really enjoy this part, Dan. I don't like watching people vomit on television. And when someone's like involved in a very athletic thing that's going on, do I really need them to be depleted of everything that they have in their system right in front of me on television?
Why not? I mean, they need to find a way to balance out these challenges. You can't have all, like, swimming challenges. You need to find a way to, like, close the gap. So that's one of the best ways to do it.
Okay, so I just read it. Liquid fish eggs is what was in those glasses.
Good for them.
And at that checkpoint, Jay and Jenna.
This was really the best part of the whole show, the whole finale.
The not a layup team. The so self-proclaimed not a layup team. They're DQ'd at the checkpoint. Jay couldn't drink two sips of this stuff.
The fact that TJ just kind of appeared out of nowhere. He was like a ghost. Just like, well, and then, you know, he started calling them out.
TJ wasn't anywhere near there. They were like, hey, these guys are wussing out down at the don't flip your lid. We need to get you down there. There's probably a helicopter flying him down there. And then
he had to be somewhere near.
I loved it, though. He totally just, I mean, he made Jay cry and then called him out for crying about it.
That's the best part.
Are you crying, Jay?
I don't even care who went after that. I was like, whatever, this is done. Like, it'd be a perfect. They should have just been like a little text at the end, like who told me who won. I'm like, okay, it would have ended on a high note.
Yeah. So Jordan and Sarah, Leroy and Teresa, they're the only teams left, and the next place they have to go to is this thing where they're, I think it was called Get Your Rocks Off. They have 30 minutes to grab 5 rocks from a pile, toss the rocks from X distance into a pretty large bucket, and prior to being able to throw the rocks, they have to consume a tube of liquid caviar. When did the challenge the final challenge become about eating and drinking stuff?
Hey, they're just paying homage to the Norway's cuisine. You know, they gotta give a.
Okay, so next time I go there, I'll know to expect caviar and liquid fish eggs. I guess that's kind of like caviar, right? Liquid fish eggs.
I guess isn't caviar fish legs?
That's what I understand it to be.
Yeah.
So each time someone misses with one of those rocks, they have to go back. Neither team finishes this thing. And then it's a bike ride. And then it's time to sleep. And they don't even let them sleep easy, which I kind of like.
They've done this in the past where they make them stay up all night.
Right. But I like it almost better when they do the thing where first team gets the best stuff to keep you warm. Second team gets the next thing. And the other team, you get a tent and nothing else. I tend to like that kind of thing. This one, a little different. And actually a little humorous with Sarah sleeping on top of Jordan, quite literally, stomach to stomach. And the next day, I was a little disappointed, just like I am when we talk about Amazing Race. They only got a 5-minute head start on day two. They had a much larger lead than 5 minutes. Why don't they get to retain their lead?
I don't know why, because they gotta make, you can't, I mean, it's still a TV show, so you gotta make it feel like there's some sort of, like, obstacle, or at least you're gonna try something, right? I mean, if it was a 30-minute head start, then you're like, well, this is basically done. Well, why would you care about how it ended?
Well, I would care if my name was Sarah or Jordan.
Okay, so two people... Or 2 million people. Whose side are you going to pick?
Well, I was siding with Jordan and Sarah because I wanted them to win. I like Leroy and all, but I wanted Jordan and Sarah to win.
Yeah, but do you care about? I mean, good thing you're not writing the checks at MTV, because you would have some issues.
Yeah, but like what I was saying earlier, I did like the fact that it wasn't we didn't have to see every step of the grueling race up the mountain, right? It did look like it was a little close at one point, but then turned out, at least via the final cut, Jordan and Sarah won by at least a healthy margin. It took a little bit for Leroy and Teresa to get up to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, it wasn't like last time where they had it, like they basically flew everyone down while they waited for the last team.
Yeah, who was that? I remember that.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it was a team like...
That was, I think it was Jessica and somebody, wasn't it? Jessica or from, what season was Jessica on?
Portland.
That's right.
No, it wasn't her. Maybe it was her.
She was in a final.
Maybe it was her.
Now you got me curious, Dan. Was that last season? Was that free agents?
That sounds right.
Do a little fact check here on the fly. Actually have the interwebs back up and running over here at the home studio. Let's see. Final challenge. Oh, Zach and Devin, I think, were the ones bringing up the tail on that.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But it's just, I mean, it was close. And I think that's probably...
Yes, because it took... Bananas, 8 hours. Johnny Riley, 8 hours. Laurel, 9 hours. 99 hours. Zach, 10 hours. And Devin, 12 hours and 39 minutes.
No, that's right. Devin. Like, it was, yeah, it was an individual competition, too,
yeah,
right?
You were in pairs for a couple stages, and then you got to go out on your own.
Yep.
But that's why Zach was so far behind, because he was with Devin on the endurance leg.
Yeah, but she did finish it or got really close. So good, more power to her.
More power to her. So no third place money. I felt like the third place money should have gotten divvied up between second and first place.
In the Olympics, if third place is disqualified, do they break the bronze in half and give it to The second place.
No, they give it the fourth place. So. But there was no fourth place here. But, I mean, overall, a really good season. We went into the reunion, and there's some sparks flying there. Anything top of mind for you out of that reunion,
Dan? I think by the time of the reunion, I was done with the whole Johnny and Sarah discussion. Like, it was like almost the third straight episode of this show where we had to listen to this in some form. And I was just kind of tired of it by that point.
Okay.
I get it. I mean, he felt like she screwed him over. She felt like she did the best interest of herself. I mean, at this point, no one was going to get, you know, prove the point to the other person, so you might as well just go. Like, I felt like I was just tired. I was tired at the end of the first episode of them talking about this, and then they kept talking about it the next episode, and then the reunion they kept talking about. It was just tiring. I mean, that was probably the worst part of the whole season, was this. They really milked that decision.
Gotcha. I remember having some was on the airplane, and I don't remember exactly what all happened there, but I did recall watching the bleep that they should have shown, which I thought was a fantastic episode and had a lot of great stuff on it. That was and was wondering why it didn't make the air this year. Did you watch that?
I saw it. The thing I guess they showed I believe they should have showed the kind of the final prank they pulled on Knight.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
The scavenger hunt for when they knew he was going to be eliminated, because
yeah,
that's what Knight does.
Yep.
There was the kind of the all-male fraternity in their antics. I'm disappointed in myself right now that I can't recall more from the episode. Again, apologies to listeners.
I think it just goes back to like these little small clippets. They don't really fit into the overall stories that's going on. So, I mean, yeah, it's usually good stuff, but if it's only, you couldn't do a whole show on just like the Knight's final scavenger hunt or something like that, and they didn't really play up Knight's ending either. So. It's just kind of I think that's their thinking when they do these shows, that they have 5 minutes. You know, we have 5 minutes. Here's a quick story we couldn't fit anywhere else.
Which, Dan, that fits into what I've been talking about. This idea of giving me, since we're not going to get what we want and have like an extra 30 minutes of the show of just like social stuff, right? Give me 5 to 8 minutes a week of online content.
Well, they tried. Like, I mean, they took
we had that with Exile. Take a swing at that. So maybe we get like a little more next time.
But then they won't have enough show for the shit they should have shown the show.
That's true.
So I don't know. They still need to figure out like some sort of bonus content. I think the viewership, you know, I think it'd be there for the hardcore fans. I don't know if it, you know, it's not going to improve MTV's bottom line anyway. But it would be nice if they had some bonus content.
Yeah, I wonder. You think Jay is still in shock? Kept saying I'm in shock. That's why I'm crying.
I don't think he's in shock.
I don't think he knows what shock is.
I think him and his ex-girlfriend have some issues that they're never going to work out. I don't think they like each other very much.
So the show has been renewed for a 27th season.
Yep.
We don't know the location or the theme.
Rumor is
could be Rivals 3.
Rivals 3.
Could be Free Agents 2. Could be Battle of the Seasons, which I think would be season 3 of that. Or Fresh Meat 3.
The rumor is Fresh Meat 3, so we'll see how it goes. They'll probably be shipping out soon, so.
And Fresh Meat 3, what Fresh Meat 3 actually does, it gives you the ability to have any veterans that you want without having a reason to attach them to someone.
Yeah. It gives you 6 to 7, 6 to 8 new contestants. Right. And if you can get 3 or 4 good ones, that then you got, you know, a couple more seasons going there.
And I'd actually like to see some of those people from Real World Explosion on the show. And maybe I won't even say I want to see Bruno on the show, because I got so done with Bruno that I don't really want to associate with that guy.
It sounds like Bruno's done with MTV too, right? From the articles he's giving, I don't think he really, it was his thing. I know, I think he did it, but no, I would be surprised to see him come back.
Yeah, what have you read?
I think he's just kind of missed him. I think he's pushing himself away from the season. So I think he's just still kind of keeping his distance from the other castmates. Like, while the other ones are maybe still have a friendship or a bond, he's still kind of keeping himself separated from them.
Okay. Well, Dan, overall, where is this, a middle of the road? Is this a top tier all time among the season, among the challenges?
I think it's in the top 5.
Top 5.
Yes.
I would tend to agree. And maybe I don't remember some of the older seasons as well anymore, but it's definitely one of the best in a long while. And I know one of your favorites is The Island.
Yes.
And that's one of the few that I've never seen. I need to make an effort. Shoot, they have it on iTunes. I just need to download the thing and watch it, because if you say it's good, I'll take your word for it.
It's great.
We're brothers in the challenge. And
that's not saying challenge has bad seasons. I mean, being a top 5 challenge season is probably...
That's creme de la creme.
Exactly. I mean, this is the best of the best. So I don't want to, you know, I'm not dogging on any other challenge seasons. And you actually started off the season a little down on the challenge.
I was. There wasn't a lot happening early on, and I was a little...
I told you, give some time. From the beginning, I thought this was a good season, so... And it showed on my Fantasy for Reality team.
Speaking of, let's take a quick peek over there as we wrap up the season. Tell you just how bad Dan whooped me in that. And the final numbers are... Oh, I actually made it in the quadruple digits. Dan, Nightcrawlers, rest in peace, squad. 1650 to my banana squad of 1,000 points. Sarah Jordan carried Dano to victory. So that's a bachelor and a challenge victory on fantasy4reality.com. Go check them out, our friends over there. A lot of fun reality games. And while we're at it, take a quick peek, since I haven't in a while. Dan is on quite the roll in the Survivor game as well. We'll take a week off this week from talking about Survivor, since we're actually recording on Wednesday night this week, and Survivor airs on Wednesday night, so we're not up to speed on that, but my people are dropping like flies over on Survivor. Dan's only lost one, I've lost 4. So keep up to speed there. I want to do something a little different here now, Dan. We kind of did, and we could start with the challenge. We'll do a little State of the Union here. State of the Union, where we are going into the spring season of reality TV. The challenge, I think we would both put it in fully in the green as far as a very healthy show going forward.
Yes.
I hope, I don't know what the ratings were like this season. I know you look at that occasionally.
I didn't see the final ratings, but I think MTV was happy with what was happening.
Okay, did your people over there let you know?
Huh? Yeah, the, my people, they let me know. You, I mean, the fact that they've never renewed it in the middle of a season. So the fact that they did that is a good sign.
Okay. So we've talked about the challenge a lot. The real world. Rumors are it's on life support. I agree that you and I would both like to see it come back, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if my life would be empty without it.
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
I know, but I'm saying, like, would I miss it if it's gone? And I don't know. Maybe 30 seasons is enough.
Okay. Like,
maybe it's time. I mean, you have to stop it eventually. It's not going to run forever.
And I would like for it to run forever.
It won't run forever. And so the question is, like, you know, if not now, then when? Like, they're already, you know, they're hitting up cities again. What, are you just going to keep hitting the same, you know, 10 cities every, you know, all the time? I don't know.
They've still never been to Atlanta, which has got to be the biggest city in the country they haven't been to.
Yeah, so maybe it's just time, and maybe it gets, you know, comes back in 5 years or something like that, resurrected, like it's one of those shows, or 10 years.
Comes back with road rules.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be disappointed. It wouldn't shock me, and I wouldn't be disappointed if it was canceled.
Okay. So it's admittedly on life support, although coming off of a very strong season altogether.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, this season, like what? Like Derek Jeter, like, had a, you know, a double to finish his career. But, you know, the kind of season, I mean, that one double didn't change the fact that he was kind of below par for the last couple seasons.
Right. It would be interesting to kind of see what they did ratings-wise, what the challenge did ratings-wise, considering they were running them as a doubleheader really for the first time.
Yeah.
So I'll actually do some digging on that and see if I can't come up with an answer. And then the show that we're going to see again, really before we see anything else, save for kind of what we already have on the air right now, is the Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise franchise. I felt like it was... Admittedly, we haven't been real excited with the franchise other than The Bachelor in Paradise over the last, really since we started the podcast, the last four seasons or so. But I do feel like this past season was maybe the best of the rest, the best of like the last four or five seasons. Would you be on board with that statement?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, but again, it's a low hurdle we're crossing here.
And your outlook, Dan, what are you thinking with, I mean, I have my thoughts on Caitlin and my thoughts
horrible.
On Britt.
Horrible. I think it's going to be a horrible season.
Yeah, I don't know that either of them can really carry the show. But there's been plenty of people that they put in that position that I thought that about.
I don't even know if this Bachelorette is a good idea.
Like, you think it should just be the Bachelor and not the Bachelorette?
Maybe I still don't like the fact that they're just using past contestants as these people too. Like,
yeah, I mean, they did Brad Womack that was a long time ago, and that's the last time they've used someone that wasn't a recycle.
Yeah. Like, I don't think, I mean, I wouldn't put any of the girls from this season really into that position. I don't think, I mean, I don't get if it's a bad Bachelor season, what makes it think it's going to become a good Bachelorette season?
You got a point there. And, I mean, you go back to Womack, and actually before him, Andrew Baldwin, he was new. Borghese, he was new. Travis the Doctor, he was new. Charlie O'Connell, Byron Velvet, Jesse Palmer. The only recycled guy at that point in time was Bob Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
Season four. So they went seasons 1 through 12 with Matt Grant, where only one person was a recycle.
Of course, at the same time, I say the horrible thing about Survivor is that I really don't care about any of these people either. So, you know, whatever. So, you know, maybe they're trying to find that way to build continuity in the brand, in the show. So, like, oh, you like, you know, the farm boy from Iowa, remember? And then you're like, oh, you liked Juan Pablo, right? He was a fan favorite when he was on it on as a contestant.
Yeah. I wonder how often on The Bachelor they, or Bachelorette, they cast a man or a woman suitor who they really find engaging and would really like to have potentially be the next person. And then they get sent home really early and they don't get what they want out of them. And what they want, I mean, America growing attached in some way to that person.
I don't know. I think it's, I don't know. It would be hard to say, like, even if they know what they want, if it's early in the game. Like, do they know who a girl really is in the first 3 weeks?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's I'm meaning more, not necessarily from who they are when they get there, but I'm thinking, hey, we cast this really great dynamic personality.
Yeah.
And they, and Chris Soules just went and sent him home in week two.
I also think that there's a little bit more production interference. If they wanted someone to stay,
it's like two for you, one for me.
Exactly. Kind of thing. They're I think the producers help him a little, help them make their decisions for maybe not everything, but there's a lot more than probably we're led to believe.
Gotcha. So I am cautiously optimistic that they can somehow pull a rabbit out of their hat with this two bachelorette thing. I wish it would last more than one night. I think it could be interesting if you got in a scenario maybe 2-3 weeks in where they're kind of like, no, I like that guy. He's mine. And it's more of a competition kind of thing. I think that could be an interesting piece. And then 4 weeks in, the guys have to vote, and the guys are maybe split 7-5 in favor of one girl, and then the five guys are disappointed that their girl isn't there anymore, and they have to recalibrate their expectations as to whether they want to be there or not.
I don't know where they get there.
That was pretty deep there, wasn't it, Dan?
If the guys could leave, like, in the middle of the pool party, they just get up and leave. They're like, ah, you know what, I'm out of here.
Like, chuck up the deuces and leave.
Or like, they're able to bring, like, chicks back to, like, the house. Like...
Oh, like, hey, man,
like strange.
Meet Sarah.
Yeah.
I picked her up at the bar.
I don't think there's a lot they can do. I mean, these shows are so reliant on the main contestant that if they pick the wrong person, it just ruins the season.
Yeah, for sure. Anyhow, have you been watching anything else? I know I watched the kind of a couple of reunions for Vanderpump. Nothing really shaking there that we weren't all already aware of. Other than we found out why Sheena and Stassi do not get along. And the reason, Dan?
Sex tape.
That's what it sure sounded like, that there is some sex tape that not Sheena didn't take or distribute or anything. She just watched it, and that's why Stassi's mad. That was the story, right? I didn't mess that up.
Something went wrong that line. It's hard to... I stopped paying attention, I think, the third episode of the season.
Dan, we got to get you to be a little more positive. Even if you don't like the show, let's talk about it.
I watched it. But it's just like... Yeah,
I don't speak for the 15 people sitting at home that might be listening to this podcast, but they don't want to hear us diss the shows that they like.
I know, but it's just like the whole, like, Stassi should not have been on this season. She really didn't fit into the season. They kind of drugged the season down.
Absolutely agree with that 100%. While we're talking about Vanderpump, I actually read an interesting article yesterday on the show How much do you think the cast members on Vanderpump get paid per episode? Not excluding Lisa Vanderpump.
$10,000.
Less.
$5,000.
Less.
$1,000.
More.
Okay, $2,000.
They get paid $3,000 an episode.
Okay, well, that's fair. They're not doing anything.
Which is, if you're a waitress and you're on 15 episodes of a TV show, you just get $45,000 pre-tax to supplement your wait staff income.
And your modeling.
And your fledgling modeling and acting career.
Yeah, half these people are really models and actors, and they're probably trying to get more out of the show through. That's probably how Bravo's selling it, too. Like, we're giving you 15 episodes to prove that you can be on camera.
Yeah, Vail didn't go just take the hostess job at Sir for fun.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the idea, though, is they said, I was listening to, I think I mentioned this last time we were on, there's a gentleman, he was the producer of season 2 and season 3 of Vanderpump Rules, but he was also one of the producers on The Hills and on The City, and spoke to the fact that they don't pay them a lot on Vanderpump Rules because they want to keep it a little bit more realistic that they wait tables or they bartend, as opposed to Audrina going to her internship at the record label on The Hills, driving one of her three Mercedes that she drove in from her house in Malibu.
Yes. Good point.
So that's kind of one of the reasons, and I like that they're at least cognizant that the viewer wants to buy in that Jax drives an old crappy Toyota and that the best car for four people to go on a road trip in is a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
Which makes sense now. That, I mean, truthfully, we obviously don't live in California or LA. I assume the taxes are about like they are in New York, which is about half of what you make. So that means they're really only making $25,000 on the TV show. And say they make another, what does a good waiter make in a year? 30 grand? 25 grand?
Maybe. It just depends. Yeah. Most of it's in cash underneath the table, so.
Yeah, so let's say they make grand and put it with the 25. $55,000 doesn't go a long way in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, but like you said, they're really actors and models who.
No, they're not.
I think they make it sound like they do a lot of the modeling gigs, like.
I think they do print modeling, which is like not the top rung of,
I don't think
of
it's a top
modeling
rung,
jobs.
I think they're doing okay.
Okay.
For people who don't do anything.
Very true. Anything else going on in your reality TV world?
I think that's it for now. I'm just kind of keeping my ears out for anything new that might happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of inundated with Bravo right now. I'm watching Shaw's, which is actually, I really like Shaw's this season. Have you been keeping up? A lot of drama there.
Yeah, well, I mean, the big drama is just what's going on with Gigi and Mike, I feel like. I mean, everything else is just kind of...
Did Mike or did he not?
No.
I don't think
so either.
Or maybe
yes, I don't know.
Who knows? They were probably both so drunk that neither of them really knows what happened.
Yeah.
And Gigi may have drawn some assumptions the next day when she doesn't really know. Who knows?
But at the same time, I don't put best either. Both of them are probably, I mean, if one told me the story and the other told me the story, I believe both of them.
Right. So I'm watching that. I'm a little behind on the Housewives of Beverly Hills, which is the only Housewives I watch. And
I think that's done, right?
They're in the reunion phase. Southern Charm is back for season 2. I've watched a couple episodes of that, which I like. I know it's not your favorite, but I did notice that Bravo just rolled out a new slate of shows. There's a new Bravo show based out of Dallas. I think it's called Ladies of Dallas or something coming. There's a medical show out of Houston. It's going to be on Bravo. as well as Ladies of London renewed for a second season.
Are you watching The Real Housewives of Melbourne?
I haven't. Have you seen it? I totally forgot it was on.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I only watched Beverly Hills. I steer clear of all the other ones. But really, I need to do some digging, like what else is going on in reality right now outside of Bravo, because you mentioned earlier the OG version of Teen Mom is on. I guess Amazing Race is on. I'm behind on that, admittedly.
It's been off the last couple of weeks because of the basketball tournament.
Well, that's good, and I'm still a couple episodes behind. I just know that John from New Kids on the Block is on there with his partner.
Yep.
And other than that, I don't really have an interest in really – not that I have an interest in him, but I don't really have an interest in anyone on that show. Usually there's at least some rooting interest for me. Anything else, Dano?
I think that's it for now.
Probably take a week off here. Probably switch to the biweekly schedule unless some really awesome things start happening in the world of reality. But we'll stay on top of Survivor through the end of the season. Little Shaw's of Sunset. Hopefully we'll get back into our random review groove, because I always like hearing what you have to say about a show and then checking it out. And that'll get us back up to The Bachelorette, and then we'll roll into the summer. Big Brother, which we know keeps us busy, and Bachelor in Paradise. So until we see you guys next time, but before we go, let them know where they can find us online, Dano.
You can hit us up on Twitter, at AfterRealityPod, or like our Facebook page, The After Reality TV Podcast.
And we can find you where?
At Daniel Oler. OEHLER.
The Oler. And you can find me at SpencerK11 on the Twitter. Until next time, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on the After Reality TV Podcast.